Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace recently launched the latest version of their platform, Squarespace 7, which has completely a redesigned interface, integrations with Getty Images and Google Apps, 15 new templates, and an incredible feature called Cover Pages. Try the new Squarespace with a free trial at squarespace.com and the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, start here. Go anywhere. If you are a roller skate, this movie is for you. We saw Xanadu, so you know what that means. Now it's time for
let's ruin the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth! And hello, people of Logos! We are live in our L.A. home here at the Largo Theater at the Coronet, one of the greatest theaters here in L.A., and we have an amazing show for you. But to begin the show, I need to introduce my co-host. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks?
June Diane Raphael! And our very special guest for tonight, Mikella Watkins.
All right.
Like I said, this movie has been told to me that we need to do this movie. I never believed people until I saw it. This movie is insane. And insane in a way that I feel like it was late night Art Deco furniture, cocaine use, and I literally feel like someone was fucking someone as they pitched this idea, and another person was in the room going, yes, yes, yes.
That person was Jeff Lynn, who was like, oh, you want to make a super fucked up roller skating movie? Let's do it to Electric Light Orchestra so everybody can be miserable. I'm about to ruin the Traveling Wilburys in a couple of years, so for now, I will create this tone poem monstrosity.
It's weird, though. I have to say, I know what the movie is.
You do?
I do.
Oh, my God.
But for me...
Well, then we can get to this much quicker than normal. June? What is this movie about?
Oh, I don't know what it's about. But what I know for myself is, there's... lots of lip gloss, lots of roller skating, lots of dancing. I'm on board, on a very real level. I'm just on board.
Yeah, it's just it's from that moment on. Wait, was
for
there a moment where you were
experience,
yes?
It's a good time, you know?
I mean, it is.
It's a good time.
I had that thing of I had chills, when it started, and then by the end, I was hiding under my bed. So scared. So, it all felt like that. The whole movie, by the end, felt like in The Shining when he sort of fantasizes the whole room coming alive.
Yeah.
Was the entire film.
Well, this to me, this whole movie could be seen as far as I'm concerned, a Jacob's Ladder kind of. The whole movie is just the moment before the main character dies. It is a
100%.
Perhaps a fever dream, or it's like people are saying that all of Birdman might be a psychotic break for someone.
Yeah,
this is that movie.
Well, that's what I feel like. It feels like one of those things where some Hollywood executive was like, "I like roller skates."
Oh, a fat cat?
A fat cat. You know what I'm at? Yeah, and
you know what did great? Starlight Express. We need to do it again.
Let me just say, by the way, about something about the roller skating in this movie.
Flawless. There's...
looks comfortable on skates.
And
no,
nobody ever nobody put looks... on a skate or took off a skate. But the camera would pan back to them. No skates.
Yep.
Skate. skates. No skates.
I will say this. The only person who seems to me effortless on skates, who is effortless and glides and skates his way through the whole movie, is Gene Kelly.
Of course. Of course.
Amazing. Who at age, I don't know what, 1,000? It shames every other dummy in this fucking
movie. Looks bad.
Yeah, watching Gene Kelly was like, wow. I feel like Gene Kelly was... He doesn't look like he's aged. I look at pictures of him. He looks like, he just continued doing these movies and he just happened to be in a kind of a bad one. Or those movies were just bad and we didn't look at him this critically. I don't know.
I don't remember watching it because I watched it a long time ago as a kid. And I don't remember thinking, like, I hope Olivia Newton-John fucks Gene Kelly. But this time I did.
Yeah.
I was like...
You hoped he got the girl in the end.
You weren't, when you originally saw it, did you see it as a little girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you weren't like, I hope the mom fucks the granddad in this movie.
But I do hope she fucks the guy from Taxi.
Yeah, who's not the guy from Taxi, but just looks like him.
I'm not going to talk about things like plot and character development.
No, please do. Paul, I would love for you to talk about plot.
Here's my issue about this movie. The simplest thing, right? It's about this artist who has no focus, right? He's doing like portraits, he's doing still life, he's doing machine parts, and I don't know what to focus on.
How are we going
to
start this movie? We'll start it with someone drawing.
Right.
So, action-packed.
He's a frustrated artist. He rips up his art. The art flies away, seemingly cross town, lands in front of a mural that he did not paint.
Right.
And that opens up a portal for Zeus's daughters to come out.
If you thought this movie didn't have connections to the Greek pantheon of gods, you're fucking wrong. Because guess what, assholes? Zeus is all over this shit.
Zeus makes a vocal appearance in this movie. Not since Clash of the Titans has it been so good.
And an uncredited Hera walk-on.
By the way, not even in the credits are they called Zeus and Hera. They're just called Heavenly Voice and Female Heavenly Voice.
Yeah.
As if they could have gotten sued by the author of Greek mythology. But...
Well, you're right.
I do at one point...
I wish, as a Greek person, I could sue this movie. I wish I could, as a kind... Just under the subheading, how dare you?
Here's what's weird, though. You bring up a good point about the musing of it all. Because... You would think that he would be touched by a muse, that she would come to life and inspire him, which is not really what happens in the movie.
No, that's
the thing. Hang on, wait a second. Really? Isn't that exactly what happens in the movie?
That's exactly, but here's
eight
the thing.
Of them. There's eight Xanadus happening.
But nothing he does in the entire movie has anything to do with him being an artist.
That's exactly it. Like his dream that he succeeds in at the end, spoiler alert, has nothing to do with being an artist, which is clearly the one thing he is the most talented in. He is not talented in club owning.
And here's what's really weird too, like, why make him a painter who then goes to paint, this whole thing confounded me, but paint replicas of...
Yeah, of record covers.
Oh my God, he invented a job.
I don't understand why that's confusing. That's totally normal.
Okay, so he's going to paint a large
scale... We can only print them so big.
Right, so he's playing...
We need humans to make them bigger.
A large
scale
replica.
Back in the olden days, they would paint every billboard by hand.
By the way, were they even billboards?
They hung them on record stores.
On the outside of Tower Records, basically.
Okay, fine.
For advertising of the album, he paints the album, but bigger.
They don't want the painting to be that good, though.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to look good.
Don't make it... He keeps being told, don't make it look good.
Oh,
don't give it your, like, flourishes or whatever. Just paint it, make it look stupid and go hang it up, dummy.
And my question to that is, why?
Yeah. Such a good question. I wrote that a lot.
I just want to bring up this one point, because before we get too far away from it, wouldn't it just... I just wouldn't it make so much more sense that if he painted that first album cover where the girl was on it, then she came to life, and then I don't even mind the club stuff, but like he painted the muse.
You could.
And then she came. Yeah. Not a rant. Who painted that mural?
Yeah.
Because that guy, like, it seems like that guy needs to be.
Or you could argue she is actually the muse of the man who shot the album cover.
Yes.
She first appears in his art.
Okay, so that's a really weird scene because when Sonny Malone goes to talk to that very
Sonny
guy,
Sonny Malone is the lead of this movie
to find this muse. The guy, the photographer, says that she just appeared suddenly.
Yeah, he says, I took 100 pictures of only the building. And when I was in the dark room, I developed it, and there was, what in this one picture, there is a girl in it.
No, he said, didn't he say that she rolled in on roller skates for one shot, and she took off, and they're like, hey, we never got her name, so we couldn't get her to sign the contract.
And then she wasn't. And by the way, I would say this has sort of happened throughout the entire movie, although Gene Kelly had one moment. Nobody's really crazy fucking surprised to see her show up everywhere. Like, he's always got a chip on his shoulder, like, hey, oh, well, my boss is really mad at me. I'm like, she just appeared out of
this.
Air.
At some point,
this is
like,
such
why?
A good scene.
They fly together.
This is such a good scene because in this moment, I realized I had a real epiphany, which is the scene in which Sonny Malone is painting in his room. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Inside a
lot of people
building.
That maybe don't understand what the fuck is going on in this movie. Because we're saying she's his muse, which they don't establish until much later in the movie.
Almost at the end.
So early on, all you know, she is a being of pure light who arrives in and out of the sky at whim. And
I wrote down, I want to read the script because the first 5 minutes is, and then they beam up into the sky.
And I was like,
they're
this
beaming up the is fire escape.
A horror movie. What this is a horror movie because she is some sort of devil that has the power to appear at any time. And she just like appears to him and is like, what are you doing? While he's painting, and you're right, is just kind of like, painting, what? Oh, God.
But, he sort of seems irritated with her.
He's a frustrated artist, and I think he was cast really bad.
You think?
Wait, guys.
You think? You're questioning his casting?
I mean, where are they going to find an actor who can roller skate that well?
Where can we find a roller skater who can act well enough?
Let me tell you two things here that will blow your mind. First of all, John Travolta was offered the role of Sonny Malone. He said no. Probably because he just was in Grease with Olivia Newton-John. He's like, let's not make this a thing.
Yet. Let's not make this a thing yet.
And then... Oh, actually, I'm sorry. Andy Gibb was first given the role of Sonny.
See, now that...
And that makes more sense. He said no. It went to Travolta. Travolta said no. And then Michael Beck was just stone cold, offered the part, no audition.
And the casting director was like, I know a great guy that looks like Andy Gibb.
What about one of the other Gibbs? What about Barry? What, the monster Gibb? No. We can't have Barry. He's too dangerous.
I have a question, though. Here's another thing that I found very odd. So he's a frustrated painter because he can't find the time to do his own art. And I sort of wanted to say, like, well, you are painting in your day job. Like, you are...
Sure, no. He is being paid to do art.
But also, my job did not seem to be... Like, I hear what you're saying. Like, he was like, oh,
he was a toll
I'm so frustrated as an artist. I'm being paid as an artist. Ugh, like, and he's like, he left his job as an artist to work freelance, which, like, the freelance work seemed to be... Like, it wasn't like, I have a dream that I'm pursuing when I'm off. He's like... I'm working freelance now.
To be fair,
and now I'm broke.
His first line of the movie, the first spoken dialogue you see after eight beautiful women dance and go into the sky is...
Oh, yeah, because after the silent drawing opening,
he says,
is a six-minute like dance montage on roller skates.
Yes, so the first actual, like, when they turned the mic on was the line, guys like me shouldn't dream anyway. I don't, I rolled that around in my brain and I'm like, guys like me shouldn't dream anyway. Yep. Anyway, good thing he had the anyway on there. Anyway, well, like, what were you saying before that?
I love a line that starts in the middle of a thought.
Well, and you're right, Michaela, because there is, like, who is this guy? I mean, we find out later on that he's, like, a real cad and, like, really, you know.
Later on,
Sonny Malone,
him.
Yeah.
When he goes up to that woman and is like, can I borrow your bike? I'll bring it back. And they're like, sure, take it. Never drives it into a gate.
Yep. he drives his moped.
Never brings it
drives
back.
Drives the moped into the ocean. And then, and it was an elaborate chase sequence. And then Gene Kelly, who was at the beginning of the chase sequence, just happens to be like, hey, kid, you fell in the water? And I thought, oh, Gene Kelly is magic. He's not.
No, he's not
magic at all. Like, and I believe that he was okay to do that because he was magic. Now that he got really almost across town, it seemed like.
Oh, yeah.
In a matter of seconds. He's
magic.
I just want to talk about the opening montage, the women coming out of the mural, because here's another thing that in the beginning, when I don't know what's happening, I'm willing to understand. They were trapped in there, because I'm going to do this, and if you're listening, you won't understand, but when Olivia Newton-John comes alive, she's like, oh, and looks at her body like, oh, I'm free from this glass prison I've been in.
Yes.
But that's not the case either.
No,
like,
it's not.
Like, it's like the thing they put General Zod
in Superman 2.
Superman 2. It's like a two-dimensional thing floating through space. They appear to be trapped in a mural.
But they're not.
No.
They're living in Mount Olympus.
Yes.
And they're reacting like, oh, I'm finally free. It's like, no, you're living in Mount Olympus.
I'm finally free, and I'm so excited. I need to dance. I need to dance because I am not free. And then fly over Los Angeles in a rainbow light brigade. Because what the fuck is happening? Because straight out of the gate in any movie, you really want to establish the rules.
Into the Warner Brothers lot. Like, that just felt like, they're like, yeah, we're dark that day if you guys want to use the lot. And then they didn't do anything to make it look like anything other than the Warner Brothers
But lot. What I was so confused at, too, was this record studio, maybe it's time gone by. Like, it seems like everything was done there like an office building. It's like, oh, you want to go to accounting? That's on the first floor. You want to go to the music videos? That's on the first, you know, second floor. You want to go, like everything was in one building. And it seemingly, to me, felt like the guy who was like, paint those things bigger, was also the head of the record company.
Yeah. Like, something like that. Yeah, it seemed like he was also the guy who was operating, like, the music video set. So
he was.
Oh, God.
He's the one that showed up and was like, hey, you can't turn this stuff on.
This stuff's expensive.
You think that David Geffen, when he was running Geffen Records, was, like, popping and going, are we blowing up the images big enough yet? Well, yeah. I want these big. And he has my favorite line. He's like, I gave up art, and now I do this.
Yeah.
Run a record studio.
Well, he goes, look at that. Guess who did that? And it's a fucking sculpture of a guy playing drums that, like, looks like something you would buy from, like, a homeless person on the street.
It's like...
That took, like, a couple of coat hangers and twisted it into garbage.
And he's like...
Garbage art.
Can you believe
I believe I did that? That was me that did that.
Oh, he also said, look, I got money. People return my calls.
Well, but I did not think he was the head of the record company,
okay, because my thought was, if he is the head of a record studio is an artistic position. Like, that's not like you didn't give up art. You're still... He gave up the top four buttons
of his shirt.
Here's the thing that's... Okay, what we haven't really covered yet, because, guys... This is a movie about two people falling in love, and
three people. Well, because I mean, isn't it also
because of Gene Kelly?
Gene Kelly,
I get what you mean. Yeah, but and it starts and romance starts like it always does with a man walking alone on the beach, a woman running into the back of him on roller skates.
It's a meet cute.
When he turns around, she kisses him, turns into light, and flies away. Was it a consensual kiss, you might ask? Doubt it. He had no time to see who was coming at him. He turns around after being bumped from behind, straight in kiss on the mouth.
Now, again, knowing what we know now, which is the end of the movie, it's more confounding because it seems to me that if he didn't get that album cover where she was on it, he would never have gone to search her out.
Right.
Like, he's like, oh, this girl kissed me on the beach today. Anyway, go back to work. And then it just was happenstance that he saw her, but it wasn't like in her plan to.
Well, that's, be his I mean, muse. Honestly, maybe right. that, and maybe was, that's though. What happened, though, because ultimately she wasn't his muse, Jason.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Here we
she
go.
She wasn't, because what you
challenge
said, Michaela.
Accepted.
What you said is absolutely right. He never fulfilled his artistic dream.
No.
He became part owner of a club?
Yeah.
Well, of a roller skating club.
Of a roller skating club. That was never his dream. So
why not just,
she didn't.
Why not just say in the beginning of the movie, oh, it's my dream to have like a roller skating club. And then the movie would be so much more fulfilling. Like, wouldn't it? That's,
like he
that's
said,
all you would need.
In case you're not entirely sure it's 1980 or 79, he says, I'm tired of painting vans and murals and album covers. those are the only three things that deserve a coat of paint.
I mean, I think there's a different reading of this movie where you could say that he's actually her muse and he touches her
Wait,
with inspiration.
The muse's muse?
Whoa, I actually agree with what you just
yes.
said.
Yes.
I agree with that.
You're saying that this
I
movie is about a muse's
you.
Muse?
It's a muse's muse.
An earthbound muse?
Yep.
Nope. I
no.
will not accept
Think
it
about
because
it for a second.
He convinces her to stop being a muse, to stop her
yeah.
musing.
And I think it just rolled around in your head. We'll get to it, but I think a case could be really made for this right here.
Look,
can I just
the reason sort of she comes to life is to get this other dream. So she is a muse, and I know that.
She's brought to life by his failed art.
Not
the
really,
papers,
though.
The papers,
but she doesn't
no.
exist
Rico,
in
the
that
The papers,
thing.
No.
But
wait.
She doesn't exist
no,
in the
but, Jesus.
But that to me seems like a portal.
Whoa.
But
that's
also,
what happens.
No. But it's also a portal.
And
like,
it's
that's
magic
like the
too.
Entrance to.
Yes.
To, like, that just happens.
To Mount Olympus?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. There's fucking columns, bro. There's columns in the mural that fucking. It's a
you
portal.
Have to
I know
admit,
we're
though,
taking
that
down your
something...
culture piecemeal by this. And you gotta hold on to it, but
God
you gotta.
Damn it!
You have to admit, there's something very magical about the way that the paper finds its way across all those different highways and byways to land right on that mural.
Forrest Gump clearly
sure.
stole from this
but place. then it is she
her.
That finds him.
He was drawing a Viking. I don't know.
But to me, it's like,
don't not talk about Vikings to me.
He should have drawn her, ripped it up, sent it away, then the papers magically form a girl, and she's like, hey, yeah. now I'm a beam of light.
Right.
Like, he didn't do anything.
But because it
he
was
didn't
Venice.
Nothing.
Didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything. He had such a chip on his shoulder. I don't want to be I'm not told I'm the best painter. I'm told I'm the fastest.
What if she is his muse, but it is to find what he is truly meant to do, which is not be an artist, which is to be a good partner to Gene Kelly and to run this club and hire his art bros mm-hmm. and have them be... Because it is
well,
artistic
are you saying,
in
though,
some
that,
way.
That if you're a muse, you don't need inspiration too?
No, no, because you're a beam of light. You're a beam of light.
But her dad is like on her ass, going, you gotta go make this guy into a great photographer. You gotta go make this guy into a great actor.
Well, she said, I was sent here to make Xanadu happen.
Which
why?
That is her mission.
And by the way, she did with the inspiration and the musings. Of Sonny Malone.
Yeah.
No,
of this loser. Of the loser.
Oh boy.
She's
oh
like,
boy.
What I need is a real loser.
Oh boy. Do
this
not
is actually
do
this,
to me.
This is like a microcosm for the relationship between women and men in this big sense where it's like behind every man is
it's a
great a
powerful
woman. And
Amen.
So what she is she finds some loser, right? And then she's like she's like, you know, I really love a club, but, you know, what I need is this loser. I don't.
Well, that's also, interesting. Because here's again, Gene Kelly, not magic, right? So the chances, no. like.
I would actually say Gene Kelly is the one who has a very clear goal. He,
yes.
from the beginning, says he wants to open up a club called Xanadu. And he wants to realize it. And so she is brought
help.
To him.
But they should. But what should have happened? Again, simple connective tissue should have been like she introduces them. That doesn't happen. He's on a mad search for this girl. He stops to get some popcorn because, look, when you're on a mad dash to find someone, you gotta fill up on some delicious popcorn.
He flirts
with the popcorn girl. I thought this is the love of his life that he's chasing.
Right.
Just wants to get some dibs on other action in case it doesn't work out. Then continues on, but then's like, oh, wait, there's a weird flute noise. Let me go check that out.
Okay. Oh, and then, so it's Gene Kelly playing the clarinet on a rock, and he's like, who died? And so he said, he's like, pick up the pace, kind of. Like, who's this asshole? Like, I'm playing an instrument on a rock on a beach, and some guy's like, it sounds like a funeral dirge. And then, so he picks it up, and he's like...
You're right. In that moment, I thought, there's a lot of space on this beach. Like, if you don't like what he's playing... Like... It's a beach. Like, go walk further.
And then he says something like...
It was 1980. Everybody was criticizing everybody.
And he goes...
Whoa, guys.
He goes, is that better? And then this loser goes, well, it was faster. And then, when he bumps into him again, goes, hi, clarinet. Because that's how inventive he is. His imagination is so big that he, like hot dog guy, he's
to
like,
fair,
hi, hot dog.
To be fair, I only referred to Gene Kelly in my notes as clarinet.
Hi, clarinet. Hi.
He also, upon meeting Gene Kelly, recaps the last 15 minutes of the movie for him. Gene Kelly's like, well, what are you doing? He goes, okay, well, I paint art. Real art? So you're an artist? Oh, no. They give me album covers. We've just seen this
but
guy.
But let me tell you...
Let me
tell you about... In 1980, people were leaving the theater a lot to do blow. And they would leave, and they'd come back,
they
and they don't want to miss stuff. So they needed someone...
Because this movie is full of recaps. Every 20 minutes, there's like a 1 minute recap of the last 20 minutes.
I just had a thought.
Confusing the movie is.
The first image of the movie is Gene Kelly playing the clarinet.
Yes.
And then the second image is him drawing. So maybe his art and Gene Kelly's music kind of meshed in the air and hit at the right spot, and that activated the muse.
I like that.
That's interesting.
She brought them together.
Yes.
She brought both of their needs together.
Here's
what's interesting. She has already been Gene Kelly's muse.
Right.
In like the 40s or 50s, when in the big band.
She knows what he's got.
Yeah. But again, I couldn't figure out why.
She's like, let's
I was
get the
confused
talent.
Why he was like, wait, but aren't you? And she was like, I have no idea what you mean. Does she forget being people's muses?
Is she like a Terminator where the Terminator, the one that like was in the first Terminator
movie? Or in Battlestar Galactica, there's like a million nines?
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole bunch of nines running around or whatever?
I think she felt uncomfortable being two muses to two different men at the same time.
She's like, oh, I fucked you, but I want to fuck this other guy.
She's a muse slut.
She's like, I don't know. But can I piggyback on that for a sec? Okay, so let's go with the theory that maybe she is pairing these two creative souls together to make one giant wunderblast of creativity. And let's just say, it reminds me of, remember in the superhero thing where they were like, form of, shape of? So it's
Wonder
like,
Twins.
Wonder Twins, what they, I remember they had to pick up an ice... They were going to make an ice ball to like throw at somebody,
into an ice ball.
But they're like one is like form of an ball, you know, ice, and the other one's like ball. And I was like, why couldn't it just be a ball? Why'd it have to be an ice ball? If you take these two people,
Zane has to transform into something with water while Jane.
But they didn't need him. They didn't need him or her, whatever. Yeah. Just like they don't need. They don't need that other... They don't need Andy Gibb guy.
No, they don't.
They don't need...
They
like,
don't.
Like, she could have just worked with...
Yeah. It just could have been
Gene
Mommy
Kelly,
and Granddaddy.
And it could have been a really cool, nice joint that actually made some modicum of sense.
Sure.
But it also seemed like Gene Kelly was like, this is perfect. Like, Gene Kelly was a little crazy, too, because he loved the end idea. But it goes back
was
to my...
Gene Kelly also... I'm sorry to interrupt, but did he say at one point that he was in the family construction business?
Yes.
Yes.
What does that mean?
He constructs families all over the United States, wherever they need putting
music.
Together.
He left
he
music,
music to, but what is the,
to make buildings.
Make buildings.
Yeah, construction.
And that's how he got all that bread.
His family's construction business.
Okay.
Wait, did you really think it was the construction of families?
No, I did not. I did not.
He's like, I'm putting mommies and daddies together. I'm giving them children top to bottom. I'm constructing just, these families the American way.
Just a little background on Gene
and
Kelly.
And I'm rich as shit because of it.
But here's the thing. Sorry, Paul, but he wanted Malone to go into business with him because he felt like Malone would know where the hot commercial real estate spots were.
Yeah, he gives him that. That was the task. He's like, hey, kid, you find me a space to run my club. And he's like, well, this guy's making me find... Like, he's making him a real estate agent. Another thing that he's not equipped to do.
Yeah.
Well, except that then his muse is like, well, what about this place? You know, and then she puts him on the path. That part actually add up for me.
How?
I'm just now realizing. This movie was so cuckoo bananas that this part I was like, I'm willing to buy this.
All
right, here's the deal. Squarespace is amazing. They have been sponsoring this show for a very long time. And this is what I know about Squarespace. If you want to create a website, they make it easy for you. Now, it's the good has just gotten better because guess what? Squarespace 7 is out and we're talking about a redesigned interface, integration with Google Apps, and that's for those who have to connect their domains to their email and spreadsheets, etc. A partnership with Getty Images so you can get 40 million high quality photos for your site at a very discounted rate. 15 new design templates, cover pages. This is just like, how much better could it get? The only thing better than Squarespace right now is the holodeck on Star Trek, okay? It is the future of websiting. Is websiting even a word? If it's not, look it up. Make it a word. Webster's, make it a word. I love this place. It's so hard to make yourself look professional in a world with people that has tons of money. And Squarespace goes, guess what? Come with us. We're going to make it easy. We're going to make you be able to sell your thing, show off your artwork, whatever you want to do. We're going to make it easy. If you need a website, we're there for you. We love Squarespace. It's $8 a month. Okay. They have 24/7 customer service. So start a trial today with no credit card required and start building a website that makes a difference. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code BONKERS. That's BONKERS. And you get 10% off your first purchase. Show your support for the podcast. That's what we really need from this. And that's promo code BONKERS. Use it. Squarespace, start here, go anywhere. I'm going to tell you this much. A lot of our fans write to me and go, I use Squarespace and I fucking love it. So that's everything that you need to know about that. I love Squarespace. I love everybody. Togetherness.
Again, my whole thing is like, he's a fucking painter. At least when they have the club, they'll go, and you can paint your giant mural here.
No. Yeah.
He doesn't do anything.
Or like squirrels on the floor.
Yeah, you would want him to be like, leather chairs. You know, white. Like, he doesn't describe
he's
anything.
He's not even a designer.
Yeah, he doesn't seem
to.
He doesn't bring anything to the club on any level.
He brings nothing to the club.
To the degree that he also, once she kind of accomplishes her task and is like, I know my job here is done. I now have to turn into a yellow beam of light and disappear from the staircase. He's like, I can't go on. I can't do the club.
Yeah.
And Gene Kelly has to come to the beach and be like, we're going to miss you tonight at the grand opening of the club.
Which seemingly this movie happens in 4.5 days. And
Max.
And the club is an abandoned, like weeds growing in front of it, wreck.
Yeah.
And then it is transformed into a multi-million dollar club.
Yeah.
Overnight, seemingly
this
overnight.
Movie, if this movie had at the end,
and no magical powers were used to do that, it was real construction labor.
If it had at the end, like whatever, all of the music, and had pulled back, and then like it had like pulled out of his head while he was like in a coma, and then it was like boop, boop, boop. That would have been the most satisfying ending, because this movie is a movie, or if it had just been like, if it had pulled back and he was just painting, and then his workmates were like, Sonny? And he was like, huh? And he was like, oh, I just had the weirdest daydream.
I was gonna say, what if it was more like a Newhart ending, and Zeus wakes up next to Hera, yeah, and you're like, oh my God, I had the craziest dream about our daughter, yep, last,
yeah,
night. Like,
yeah.
Oh,
that,
I would have believed happening. That. I would have believed or, it. This could have been a movie about a man and his imaginary friend, Olivia Newton-John.
Or Olivia Newton-John wakes up, and it's like 2018.
Right.
And she's like...
still looking for a missing husband?
On skates, and everybody's like, ha!
Hang on. Hang on. Hang on. I feel like I lost you guys there.
I want to talk about the Gene Kelly memory boner scene, as how I call it.
Oh God!
Where they make the most bizarre choice. He's listening to an old song and remembering it, and instead of like going into his memory, he stays in the left corner of the screen.
In
the
focus.
The dream is in the right, in focus, and he's just like. I wanted to shine my eyes away, yeah, from it.
Yeah.
That I felt like was directly meant to be like a jerk-off scene.
That's like, that was a memory bone. Let me tell you a couple things about Gene Kelly. First of all, is on record as saying he only took the role because filming was a short drive from his Beverly Hills home to the set. The big dance number between Gene Kelly and Olivia Newton-John was filmed after production had wrapped as an afterthought. Like, oh yeah, we should get these two together in the movie. And he...
You mean this, the boner, so the one you're talking about?
The boner scene.
Because
that was the best scene.
Because without that scene, you would never know that those two were connected at all.
Yes. And it's terrific.
And Gene Kelly choreographed it, and this tells me something about what he thought about the movie. He only would agree to do it if it was a closed stage with only him, Olivia, a cameraman, and two other people.
And that guy, Sonny, as far away from you as humanly possible.
That's amazing.
Nobody can talk about the weather. That's how much I don't want to know. I don't want to hear Sonny. Nothing. Because every time they showed those two in a two shot, it was Gene Kelly, and then you see like the back of poor Michael's head. That's the actor's name, is Michael. And he's just like, everything's ADR'd. Every single thing I'm saying is completely ADR'd. Gene Kelly being totally charming. And then more ADR'd stuff from that guy.
Gene Kelly really, like, I was enamored with him in this. I was like, wow, he's great.
He's amazing in this movie.
And it's kind of a sequel. There's a 1944 movie called Cover Girl in which Gene Kelly starred, and he played Danny McGuire. Dancer, Cover Girl.
Really?
Sequel. I don't know if that was intentional.
Ooh, I kind of like that, though.
Can I just play you a clip of
the
director? Now, by the way, this director didn't direct any other dramatic films after this. He went on to be a fantastic documentarian and directed Outfoxed. And the Walmart documentary.
Oh, wow.
Like, this is this director is a very established, great director. But here, this is the director just talking about the movie. Here we go.
I remember very clearly getting this script. It was like 45 pages. It was very weak, to be polite about it. And I said, oh, well, I guess they're going to fix it.
Universal called me back and threw the thing at me and said, we want you to rewrite it. So now I have an original script, I'm rewritten. I have another script, and I'm rewritten. He did it one more time, maybe two more times.
Well, lo and behold, the script never got fixed. Became longer than 45 pages. But for myself, there was always frustration that we really never had a script and we never solved the script. My solution was to dream up the most interesting, magical, musical numbers, do a great, good old-fashioned musical, only brought up to date.
That was it. There was no script.
Shocking.
Shocking.
A 45-page script was like, rushed into production. 45 pages?
I told you everything.
By the way,
ADR'd.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Because that's about the amount of movie there is here. Mm-hmm. If you don't think these people kiss themselves into an animation sequence, you'd be wrong.
By the way, some facts about the animation sequence. Done by Don Bluth. That's why it looks like Fern Gully. But more interestingly, The movie was running a little short on time.
Oh, really?
And instead of going in for reshoots, it was cheaper to do an animated sequence after the fact.
I am not surprised by that in the least.
And just to show you I just want to show you this one thing. This is the thing that was so interesting to me was that the animated Olivia Newton-John is wearing leg warmers.
This, Paul, can you stop right there? This entire animation sequence, if you watch it, because it starts with them kissing, is the sex scene of this movie. The entire sex scene takes place with magical cartoon characters, like, blasting each other into flower shapes. And that is real. I watched it again and jerked off. And it works, guys. It works. It being my dick.
Did I get you back? I want to throw one more fact at you, and then we can get back to talking about it. How much would you say it cost to build the Xanadu Club?
$14.
How much is a porn set?
Priceless.
What's weird, there are so many... That's one thing I walked away with. There are a lot of, like, cavernous, large spaces in this movie. Like, there's the huge, like, space where they shoot the music video or the music video stuff is. There's the club. Like, there are just...
Big space.
Couple actors walking into
big,
enormous
spaces.
And
would you say that would mean that the movie was like really expensive or really cheap?
I think for this time, yeah. Like 1980, I bet you this was a big budge.
$20 million to make this movie in 1980, which is like, I feel like $100 million today, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
$20 million.
Oh, to make the whole movie.
The whole movie.
Okay.
The Xanadu set, only a cool mill.
They spent $1 million on the movie and $19 million on just Coke.
Coke and roller skates.
More roller skates.
Coke and skate lube. I want these skates lubed up. I need them going faster. I need all these mustachioed weirdos on skates to be unsettlingly uncomfortably on their feet. I would love it if that director was only like, well, it was 45 pages, so we did a lot of cocaine, and we did the best we could, which was very poor.
Joel Silver, producer of movies like Lethal Weapon, Die Hard, he was one of the producers, and apparently locked the screenwriter in a room for over 3 days straight because he wouldn't finish the rewrites.
And that screenwriter that we saw there, who looks like an ex-drummer for the Ramones?
Yes. And he says, the Joel Silver quote is, that son of a bitch wouldn't deliver, so I locked him in a room.
I wish we were making movies in the 80s.
So I'm just realizing now, like, yeah, why wasn't Sonny Malone a musician, even, or a dancer?
Yeah.
Great.
He doesn't dance, he doesn't sing, he doesn't do anything.
Act, he doesn't know.
I gotta tell you though, I did love his co-workers at the art factory.
Oh, that one.
They were just wonderful.
I mean, this is an old reference, but wouldn't that one guy, is like the sassy guy, remind you of from
John
Barney
Denver?
Miller?
Oh,
the one with the glasses.
Yeah, the guy.
I love when he said to him, "This is the act out line." Like before it would go to commercial, if it came on network television, he said, "You're gonna make it as an actor, you're gonna make it as an artist, cause you're nuts."
Are you developing this for TV? Yeah.
I would like to see the further adventures of Xanadu. What happens 2 days after it closes? And the idea of Xanadu, like, because again, the movie's like, well, we're gonna have a club that is like the 40s and the 80s, but then it really is just a roller skating club.
Well, yep. There's also music.
That's
there's a bunch
started.
Of music being played by. The tubes.
the band, the new wave band, The Tubes.
Yeah, but there's nothing. There's nothing 40s about the club.
But what's his face? The dummy kid. He's like, I like rock music, man.
Yeah.
But that wasn't rock music.
No.
No, it was like synthesizer. He was like, we need synthesizers and six guys in jumpsuits, also known as The Tubes. Can we get Devo? No, we can get Devo ripoff band The Tubes.
And also, another thing this club was kind of missing was any libations. There was no glass.
No,
there was nobody having a beverage.
Yeah.
There were no spectators. There were only people who were in the choreographed dance.
But to me, my thought was, is that part of the deal? You are performing when you go to this club. Like there is like,
right.
Like
you learned the numbers.
Why else would the club have a curved... a part of it that goes all the way around like a roller derby ring.
Yeah.
Like the club is built as if it's like what's it called?
Where you
race bicycles, you know? Like,
that did seem like fun, though.
Yeah.
It did seem like a lot of fun.
And I love the
dance. I also thought he would play clarinet at the end.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. No, they didn't really tie any threads.
Olivia Newton-John broke her coccyx,
by the way. But the takeaway from this movie really is, like, if you're an artist and you have a dream to do your art, like, you should give that up. You really should. And, like,
become a businessman.
And become a businessman.
The person who wins in this movie is Simpson. His boss, who's like, you should take business more seriously.
When I do it as a series,
right?
You're going to play him. You're going to play him.
His philosophy is actually the one that
is
true.
Oh, guys, I'm sorry. While you were talking, I just happened to look at one of my notes. I did tell you the budget was $20
million. Mm-hmm.
It was budgeted for $4 million. And production costs and delays increased it by $13 million. It went.
Hey. So
$13 million over budget.
So I just came from Xanadu, and we're a little over. We're a little over right now.
Oh yeah, sure. No, yeah. Well, what? A couple hundred thousand.
We are triple the budget over right now. So
$4 million, and it went $13 million over.
Ooh, also the lead actor murdered someone. Ooh, and also everybody has broken legs from the roller skating. So we just have been giving skates to extras. Ooh, also Andrew Lloyd Webber is furious.
He even says back to his coworkers, I'm jumping back, but he says, you know that dream of mine? Well, I'm finally doing it.
Yeah.
That's him when he quits. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What?
What dream? To be a freelance artist?
I don't care that you're doing it. Just tell me what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe his dream, maybe they kept it secret. So like he told everybody, like, what do you want to do? Oh, I want to be an artist, but secretly I want to run a club that combines 1940s music and rock music of today.
Well, she was a business muse.
She's the sister who is a business muse.
Well, I feel like we've obviously have a lot of questions, but I want to open it up to you guys out here who might have some questions. And I'm gonna bring some stuff with me. Here we go. All right. So, who raise your hand if you got a question? All right. Here we go. Good questions from the people down here. Good people. All right. Here we go. What is your name? What you would call this movie? Oh, someone's playing a How'd This Get Made bingo. How are we doing? Let's see.
Wait. There's a How Did This Get Made bingo?
Jason,
what is this?
Jason, say dum dum.
Haven't I already?
No. According to this bingo, you have not.
Dum dum.
Close. You got a very close now to making
it. Does that mean somebody is going to scream bingo in the middle of this show? Is this a thing that's happening that I'm unawares of?
All right, your name, what you would call Xanadu, and your question.
My name is Brian. I would call it cold shoulders and warm ankles. And we know what Kira's mission was. What was the African-American muse with the penis hair's mission?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The one at the beginning, she had like a big cock coming out of her head.
Yeah. She, I believe, in 1980, Wait, does she, is she twerk at one point in this movie? Somebody does twerk in this movie, right?
She was the muse of fertility.
All right, we don't know. We don't know.
We don't know.
But I'm going to give you a Jason, my boner says differently sticker.
There are stickers?
All right, here we go. Question back here. Question back here. Your name, sir, what you would call Xanadu, and your question.
My name's Jay. I would just call it what the fuck. And my question is, you guys haven't talked about the scene where they go into the music recording studio that has palm
all the
trees
sets
and a rooftop scene and a wind machine and rain.
And the boss suddenly shows up and says, this stuff is expensive.
Well, that
I thought you were going to say we didn't talk about the Gene Kelly makeover scene.
His coming out.
Which we did.
His coming out of the closet scene.
We
know why it didn't work with him and Olivia Newton-John in 1945.
Oh, interesting.
Well, I was fascinated by that because it was a recording studio that looked like a music video.
Oh, no, I think it was for music videos.
Yeah. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, they
said recording, and all that stuff was to inspire them. So
No, Paul.
My friend here.
Remember, here we go.
Hold on.
Paul.
How many people agree with me by applause that I'm right? Because
Wait,
I am.
How
right?
many people agree with us? All right, don't try and juice it.
No,
guys.
What are you even saying?
He says it. He said when they walk in, he goes, this is our recording stages. We have these things to inspire our artists.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Remember, he goes, I don't know how to work this stuff. Beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, bop, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. And then all of a sudden they skate and things happen, everything.
But wait, I have a question. What do you imagine the artists would do on these things?
Yeah, they'd be like, ooh, deserted island. Ooh, that makes me think of something.
But that also
just go for a walk.
But that also, again, it shows no knowledge of the music business. Because you'd be like, all right, let's get into the studio and just start. I mean, is that how it works? You just start
Also, you know what you don't do? You don't record music in like an airplane hangar full of fucking...
Yeah.
Where
giant
rooftop
props.
Scenes drop from the ceiling.
Yeah.
What? No!
Right, that's where
By
you record
way,
porn.
They both fly in that scene briefly, and he does not react to it.
Again, I do believe this entire movie is about someone's mental illness. It's like Birdman, where there's stuff that you're like, did that really happen, or is he just in his head in that scene? Like, that could be this. This is the first Birdman.
Mike, your name, your title, and your question.
My name is Bree. My title would be, you don't have to do this, Gene Kelly. And I was wondering if you found in any of your research, what was the impetus for this movie? What was the inspiration? Because when I was watching it, I just kept thinking, they must have thought, let's make a movie where we just piss all over Gene Kelly's corpse. And then they found out he wasn't dead yet, so they hired him on. Because this just keeps mocking all these musicals. And
so you're asking, who's the muse for this
who's the muse?
Movie?
I do, in the notes compiled by our great intern, Nick Kelly, Kylie, I do have what it's based on. It's based on an older movie, but I can't imagine. I mean, the idea of a muse inspiring someone is a classic tale that could have been executed so, like, that's the thing. So simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So simple. Have a dream. Make it.
I love it. I love, too, that in the movie, when she reveals that she's a muse, in a section that is, you know, how DVD chapters have titles, it's called Kira's Secret. And she says, I'm a muse. Why don't you believe me? Look it up in a dictionary,
Page.
Which he does. They then close in on the dictionary so you can follow along, I guess in case you're a dummy and you need to be explained what a muse is. And then the TV talks to him.
No, there's a joke in
there. Yeah, there's
in
a
there.
Joke which says, do you believe me now, Sonny? And then she's like, TV,
Jason.
And the TV turns on.
Oh, that was nice.
And then the people on TV talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hated this movie.
I like that part. I liked everything except him being like, instead of going, holy shit, is going, ooh, what? Let's do no.
Yeah, he's like, oh, what am I, a real estate agent? And she's like, well, what about my place?
I've never seen your place. I heard you. You're sisters. I get it. He was such a jerk. He seems like, I'm like, you're going to leave your amazing life where you get to travel time and be with all these people and do all these amazing things for this guy? Are you kidding me?
I still want to crack into the end at one point, too, because what exactly happens there?
Yeah, is that the crux of the movie, that she has to make this decision? To be with him or to go back to
be immortal?
Well, she made the decision, but Zeus is like, you got to stay. I need him, all my muses.
Well, you know what else just occurred to me?
That's when they blew our minds, I think, with that.
If she was Gene Kelly's muse in the big band era, right? And he's like, I got my own band, blah, blah, blah. Why? I guess maybe she was just his muse only in as much as he had the success that he had, because I guess once she disappeared, he didn't play clarinet anymore.
But I'm like, also confused.
Well,
about...
he says, doesn't he say, though, that when she left, mm-hmm. he stopped. Yeah, that's
the music
when
went out of
his
him.
Dream died.
Isn't that antithetical to being a muse?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. When she left.
Not muse-like,
right?
At all. Yeah.
Like, a muse, I believe, is like,
her.
She's like, I changed this for the best, and now,
right.
Or unless,
off you go.
Again, she's a business muse.
Right.
Because it brings him into the business of constructing families.
Yeah, like, stop being a good clarinet player. Go be a great
hang up the clarinet. Hang up your paintbrushes. Be a club owner. Be a construction worker. Stop. Everybody, stop trying to be artistic. Yeah.
By the way,
it was the 80s.
I think we figured out the best title for this movie, Business Muse. But there was a, what was I saying? I also had an issue with him because he also seemed like he was a singer, and I don't know many clarinet players who can. He sang.
Yeah. Gene Kelly did, yes.
Yeah. How are you a clarinet slash singer? Like
that,
like you're like, I play the clarinet and I sing. That would be a real hard combo to pull off.
But I think that's why, to answer that young woman's question, is that that was the impetus for the film, is to show that Gene Kelly can do everything.
And he really could.
He
was dancing, especially in the scene, the one with Olivia Newton-John, when his boner fantasy comes to life.
But yeah.
That was amazing. Transformative. Like, that was phenomenal. He is
amazing.
Effortless and so... And he, I don't know, how old is he when this is done, someone?
70s.
He looks
68
great.
68 years old.
He
and
died
he's
in 96.
Shaming everyone else.
He was alive for 16 more years, but said, no more movies after this one.
Oh, is
literally.
This the last one?
Yep. 1980.
This was really his last one?
Yep, and then he died in 1996. It's like, oh, he must have died right
even
after.
Even when he's doing the horrible makeover montage, it's still, he transcends
it's amazing.
What's going on.
He's
really
terrific.
Quite wonderful.
The only issue I have with that dressing up montage is, he's like, I gotta get new duds, but his new duds look like his old duds.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like an old man at the end, and he looked like an old man in the beginning. He didn't look bad, but he didn't really get new duds.
He looks deep into his eyes and said, I never had a partner before. Take me shopping. And I just...
All right, your name, your title of the movie, and your question.
My name's Ben. Title will be Xana Don't.
Boom!
Whoa, there it is.
You should just sit down, Ben. It doesn't get better than that.
And I'd like to know, marry, kill, fuck the three main characters.
Okay.
Marry, kill, fuck.
Okay. I'm really going to think about
Gene
this.
Marry Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly. I think everybody agrees.
Yeah. Oh, guys, this is so easy.
It's so easy.
Kill the bad guy, and I'm going to fuck Olivia Newton-John.
Wait. No.
Of course.
I would.
That's how we all.
I'd marry
And
Olivia.
Then I'm going to fuck Gene Kelly for the rest of my life.
Wait a second, guys.
Great.
You guys have it. You guys have it all wrong. First of all, fuck the guy who yells at all the painters. That guy is wild. Second
Wait,
of all,
the boss?
Mary.
He said the three main characters.
Yeah.
Oh, three main. Okay, I was gonna say, penis, pubes, Mary. Definitely.
By the way, speaking of random
popcorn
characters,
vendor,
though,
kill.
What about that? What about that guy that Sonny runs into as he's searching for his muse, who offers to
his
show?
Yes. Lou.
That was Lou. That was disgusting.
He's like, hey, you're single. You're single. What about my daughters? And he unfolds his wallet.
Lou.
Pictures.
Lou. That was called exposition.
Horrible.
We got to show that everybody wants to set him up. He's real hot to trot.
Yeah. As I will, but to be fair, And I will say, as a single man, men offer me their daughters all the time.
All the time.
They're just like, please, Jason, fuck my girls. No, well, here's they what, don't, because okay. that's a lunatic's okay. behavior.
And what to me was really disturbing about it was that he was pulling out like wallet-sized pics.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they were his daughters.
Yeah, they were like high school senior
were, like,
pictures.
These are my girls. I got all kinds
1980.
Of girls. Tall girls, short girls.
Got this girl. One's got a lisp. Come on, Sonny.
All right, here we go. Another question. Your name of the movie, and your question.
My name's Caitlin. Name of the movie's Career Killer. And I was just curious if you guys noticed when Sonny Malone meets Gene Kelly outside of the record store, he's putting up those large, stupid records, and he just walks off, leaves the ladder there, leaves the rest of the pictures there.
Oh my God, so many things.
Escorts him to his house, his mansion, huge mansion that's...
By the way, thinking about that as well, leaving all of his equipment there, that's a big no-no. But secondly, why is he even putting it up? This is a real full-service job. Like, he's hanging them up
yeah,
as well?
That's...
You finished painting it, now go hang it outside the record store.
For this, you get a Tara Reid sticker. That's a really good question. Who has faith in their question? Oh, this guy in the front. You got one too? All right. What's your question? Your name, your title of the movie...
It's Joe. Can I sing the title?
100%, Joe.
Shit, doo doo. That's pretty bad.
I liked it, but I wish you would have just continued it on. That was good. All right, shit, doo doo. Here you go. Your question.
Given the sexy short shorts and the radical roller skates, who would be more likely to be recast as Sonny Malone, yourself or Jason?
Oh. Me or you, Jason, as Sonny Malone?
To be cast as Sonny Malone?
Gosh, we both have so many qualities.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you know what? We could both probably do it together.
Yeah.
You know, it would be the combination of both of us that would be the true embodiment of Sonny Malone.
I mean, it's awesome. I mean, if you think about it, Gene Kelly is the original Sonny Malone.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so I'll be the older guy, you be the younger guy, and we got a whole new movie.
Sure.
June, you could be the June, you want to be the muse?
Yes, please.
All right.
Is there anything for Michaela?
Oh, I can
I was
the,
just going to offer Michaela the great big casting role here. Zeus played by a woman. Boom. Nailed it.
And I can say...
Zeus in a Tron-like world.
I wanted to be one of the painters in the office at the beginning who's always...
Those ladies are the best.
We always believed in you, Sonny.
Not to upset the boss and, you know... I'll make an excuse for you.
Your name, your title of the movie, and your question. You seem very confident that you have the best question.
My name is Dave. Title of the movie, my friend thought of it, Graffiti Girls from Greece.
Oh, I like that. Graffiti Girls from
and
Greece.
And I like that you gave your friend credit.
Friend, do you get a sticker, the Not the Beast sticker?
My question is, when they're talking to Zeus, Zeus is a Greek god. Why does he have an English accent?
Great question.
And his daughter has an Australian accent.
Yeah, his daughter is Australian.
Let's maybe play that scene just for a second.
And is she... I have a question while you're getting that ready. Was she Australian the whole time? There was like... The first 20 minutes, I was definitely sure she wasn't Australian.
Yeah.
And then she was very Australian.
Here we go. This is the Mount Olympus scene.
That was before they paid for the dialect coach.
This is Mount Olympus in a Tron-like world.
We need to be together.
All right, that's enough. You're leaving, Kira's staying. No more discussions. Those are the rules, and that's all there is to it.
On the other hand, dear, rules were made to be broken.
We'll talk about that later.
Which is later, and which is earlier?
I keep forgetting.
Just a minute. Isn't anyone interested in my feelings?
What do you mean, feelings?
Oh, you remember, Pet. We learnt about feelings in our mortal history class.
Yes, feelings. I guess that's what you call them.
$20 million spent on a movie where they're both in black.
I've never asked to leave here. Not ever. Not once in the whole time I've been here.
No, it's true, dear. She hasn't. Not in all these centuries. Or is it minutes?
I do.
This is what the movie looks like.
Can't we just have this one night? Just one night.
Somebody should go buy a light bike.
Not possible.
Goodbye.
Oh, and then Sonny gets put into like.
Kira?
Just one moment.
Goodbye, Sonny.
All right, so this scene is garbage.
It's almost like Hera has dementia in it as well. She's like, I don't remember what's earlier and what's later.
That's when I was just like, this is so heavy. She's right. Because she says, I'll see you in a moment or centuries. Yeah.
And, all right, there's a couple... couple more. Well, you know what?
Maybe they're like, let's not answer those. See you in a moment or centuries. Let's not answer those weird, hard questions.
Now, obviously, we have an opinion about this movie, but there are other people that have a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
Second opinions!
These are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon, real people. Talking about a classic film. There were so many of them. The one thing that we noticed in compiling these is there is quite a few, more than 10, that the review was 5 out of 5 stars. My wife loves this movie. Things like, I'm going to get some brownie points for this one. My wife loves it. But literally, my wife loved it. My wife loves it. Like 20 reviews of my wife.
And it might as well be, my wife loves this movie and I love blowjobs.
But like, why do you need to write a review on Amazon?
Because like, in case anybody's like, why are you watching it for the 20th time? My wife.
Here's, I'm going to
I wanted in writing.
There are so many great ones in here. I'm just going to kind of give you a sampling of them. This is from Jay Trillo, Miss Mustang Mary. And she writes, I need this so that I could do a drag number for a show. But the show was canceled. I love the movie. 5 out of 5 stars. This one was kind of great, too. Okay. All right. I'm just going to cut to the middle of it. This film was created to make you dream. For your mind to be mesmerized by the colors, the music, and the beauty of its entirety. The music was great, the plot was cute, and while many may laugh at the roller boogie of the last scene, it takes me back to my high school years, going to the rink. That was the thing to do! All in caps. Thank you, Olivia, Gene, and ELO for making a movie and music that I still enjoy to this day! 5 exclamation points. T. Johnson, North Potomac, Maryland. 5 out of 5 stars.
I like all that specifics. Come find me if you've got a problem with it. North Potomac. I'm here and I'm ready to defend myself. I'm on skates.
I love this movie. From Mandela. I don't know if it's the same one.
Guys.
I hope so.
It's him.
I hope so.
This movie should not be seen for the first time if you're over the age of 9. But if you're under the age of 9, it is simply fantastic.
What?
I am buying it for my fiance's nieces.
Because weird, weird, weird.
Okay. Signed,
that
9.5
super
year old.
Weird.
It is.
I'm buying it for my nieces. Cool. I'm buying it for my fiance's nieces. I'm a creep.
Yeah. Now, as Mandela puts in brackets, I'm buying it for my fiance's nieces. Being raised by 2 older sisters, he knows the words to all these songs. Close quotes. So we don't know what's going on there. But he goes, Mandela goes, this is a great intro to the Gene Kelly musicals of yesteryear, as well as classic mythology. So just take it for what it is and share it with the little girl in your life. 5 out of 5 stars.
Oh, that's so
right?
creepy.
Right?
So creepy.
See, you guys weren't on board in the beginning when I thought he was a creep. But at the end, 100% fucking Cree.
Now,
and little did we know, Nelson Mandela.
Nelson Mandela had a lot of time in prison to write good Amazon reviews.
It's one of the only movies they had in prison. I guess we're going to watch Xanadu again?
Yep.
That was in the movie. Idris Elba was like, are we watching Xanadu? They were like, yep, we're going to do it.
So no other movies from yesteryear? Nope, that's it. Just Xanadu.
My favorite one here. This is from Leah. My three daughters have been watching this for the last month from Netflix, and I'm going to buy a copy. They are now roller skating and singing and having a great time, just like I did when I was their age. Yes, this movie won't solve the world's problems.
I disagree.
Not like most movies.
That's what it aspired to.
I disagree. I absolutely think it will.
It won't solve the world's problems, but it's good. It's clean fun. No sex. No risque anything. And a few chaste kisses. One woman in a bikini. Lots of music and dancing.
Just
a heads up, there's one two-piece in it.
Goofy?
Oh, God.
Yes. Worthless? No.
Because those are the two things that are in opposition to each other.
Watch it, have fun, find a roller rink, and take your kids skating. Leave the cell phones at home and have some real fun. 5 out of 5 stars.
Wow.
I think, June, you'll probably agree with me on this. I think they did have sex in the animated thing when they both jumped into that flower and the flower closed around them.
Yes!
It looked like it.
Right? That animation sequence was the sex scene.
That was sex. It was birds, it was bees, it was flowers, it was humping, it was sex.
And also, just to point out, the movie was based on a 1947 film called Down to Earth. I think you'll be surprised, though, and I've saved this kind of for the end of where the movie's inspiration came from. And here, we'll just play this for a second. All right, so here we go.
So then, Santa Monica or the Palisades, and a writer, producer, and a friend kept bugging me about doing a story on what had started as a small little thing of Venice Beach and just kept growing and growing, which was roller skating. The friend was Brian Grazer. I think he's emerged a little bit bigger than the assistant that he was then. I built the storyline to go toward a big rock club at the end, which I called Xanadu. And I took it, yes, both after the house that Orson Welles named in Citizen Kane, and of course he took it from the Coleridge poem.
In Xanadu did Kubla Khan a stately pleasure dome decree.
That's it. But so Brian Grazer, in passing, said make a movie about a club named Xanadu, and that is it. Brian Grazer, not a producer, but inspired the entire movie.
So he was the muse.
He was. That's what I was going to point out. Brian Grazer is the muse of Xanadu.
The Xanamuse. In summation, I'd like to respectfully ask this movie to go fuck itself.
You were not inspired.
I did not find it inspiring, although Gene Kelly was amazing.
I thought Olivia Newton-John was great, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, wait, you're saying
that? I thought she was fine. I felt like she had very little to do, actually. She was just roller skating and was kind of positive vibes in the Tron universe.
It's enough for me.
But like Gene Kelly, I was like, wow, this is fantastic.
Yeah, he was incredible.
I would say you have to watch this. Like, I feel like this is the most important movie ever made. Because we take for granted, like, we see movies like, oh, I hated that movie. Most movies do the job of creating a cohesive plot that goes like, uh-huh, got it. This one disregards that. We should be thankful. This makes
you're
you thankful for every bad experience.
You're right. You're never ahead of the movie. You're never like, I bet I know where this is going to go.
Yeah.
You're never trapped in that thing of like, oh, I bet in 15 minutes there's going to be like a 9-minute dance montage in a costume shop. Oh, yep, here it is.
And I really love at the end the way they move into the Xanadu song with the whole like dancing and the clomping of the roller skates. I
had a question about that. So why, when they're in the Tron universe, and they're like, no, you can't go back to Earth, you can't whatever. But then when they open Xanadu, she's there.
Because Zeus is like, all right, kid, take
the
car.
They gave her a moment or centuries. Yeah. They forget.
Okay, I wanted
Zeus to and the wife kind of continue the talking.
Yeah.
And they're like, you should let her go. And he's like, oh, all right. And he lets her go with all the muses, and they all perform.
I guess that's true, yeah.
But then here's the trick. They all blast up into heaven. No one reacts. No one reacts.
There's nobody in the club anymore. Everybody's gone.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, no, it's that's
everybody
it's the
appears to
moment.
Be gone, but then he's like looking at the empty stage, but then he walks over to Gene Kelly and yeah. It's crowded again.
He's wearing his Xanadu jacket.
Worst. It's like branding, the elastic
branding.
Around the waist.
You gotta brand merch. It. You gotta brand it, guys.
And Gene Kelly's like, someone's waiting for you. And it was her.
As a waitress.
And
but it's not her because she doesn't appear to know who he is.
Right.
Well, now I'm thinking, though, that...
Do you think, like... Okay. What do you think,
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking...
Work it out.
Do you think she... I mean, are we supposed
be
to
be like,
wonder
who wants
she...
to be a millionaire? Hear it out loud. Yeah. Say what's going on out there out
loud. Did she come back as a
it's
moral?
It's just tricky because I don't know who she is. You know? I don't know...
Who the last girl is, you mean? The girl that... The
waitress?
The waitress girl, you mean. Right?
I guess what I'm saying is, like, maybe there's a world in which these men, these weak men, like, start to sort of see the same woman. Like, they're not really...
All women to them are Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah,
that's like, all they see is Olivia Newton-John.
None of them are her. I
none of them
is
are
what
her.
I'm saying. Yeah,
all of them are they're played by all... her, but none of them are her.
Yeah, none of them are Kira, is what I'm saying. They're all sort of like
vaginas that talk.
Projections of their own. I didn't hear anything.
I said vaginas.
Wait, so
that talk.
Kira yes. is
yes, vaginas that talk. Like they're not.
By the way, such a better movie.
So, like, it's Kira just, like, a form that is sent. So, like, that Kira that, like, Zeus kind of threw him a bone and was like, take this soulless Kira. Like, she looks like the one that you love, but
see,
she's not.
I think it could have been answered if he acted the last line of the movie. He says, like, the last line of the movie is, can we go somewhere and talk for a while? Okay? Now, she's the waitress, right?
Olivia Newton-John is playing the waitress.
Is the waitress.
But is not so, the character she has been playing the whole time.
Well, we don't know. Because if he said it to her, like... Can we go somewhere and talk? And then he looked at her and gave her like a, I know who you are. And she gave him like a.
Yeah, how would you not? She's
then
not
you would go, she became immortal. But if he's like, hey, you look in his mind, telegraphing on his face, you look like that girl that I was following around for the whole movie, but not really that impressed to see her all the time. Can we go somewhere and talk? Then it'd be like, oh, you met the mortal version of your muse. Now,
wait, so they can be,
I mean?
Like, there are mortal versions of the... Yay. Because now I'm confused, too, because if she's immortal, like, she should have said, like, hey, I did this for you.
I gotta right? say this, okay, if she did become immortal at the end...
Amortal, not immortal, right?
A mortal person. If she became immortal, then it sucks that she's just, like, a waitress at this club.
Again, my point, why would you leave your amazing life for this guy in this job?
But she just was performing on stage and looks nothing different. Like, so if they put her in a black wig at the end, you're like, oh,
yes, there you
interesting.
Go.
But
brilliant.
She was just performing, and then like, and then 2 seconds later, like, ma'am, martini, please.
Well, but maybe what they're saying, you guys, you guys, maybe what they're ultimately saying is that this whole thing of like, I was touched by a muse. I was inspired. Like, we're looking to these outside things to inspire us.
Right.
Ultimately, like, that comes from within, really.
Wait. So, no, Gina, so, I thought you were going to go in a different way. Wait, I was going to say this. I was going to say this. We're so busy looking for our muse that we don't notice one right under our nose.
Oh.
A cocktail waitress.
But he does notice her and says, let's go talk for a while.
Well, this is what I would argue.
They don't even have drinks at that place.
Because the dummy guy is watching Olivia Newton-John and the other muses. They're dancing and they're doing a whole thing, and then they all, boom, go into the sky, right?
Yes.
And then it appears as though he's alone in the club, mm-hmm. looking at the stage.
Mm-hmm.
would you be surprised to find the rest of the patrons of the club didn't see any of those people dancing on that stage? And that only he saw that it existed only in his mind.
I think it's
Gene Kelly wasn't like, whoa, what a great show. Let me get you a drink. Kelly was like, go talk to that girl over there.
I want to jump on your theory about how the movie should have ended.
Yeah.
He's a homeless guy who lives inside that place, that abandoned club.
Yep.
And this has all been in his head.
I love it.
The entire time. So when he sees her, let's go talk, everything just goes away and he's just in the corner with like a bottle of just drinking.
A pet rat.
I have a theory.
A pet rat named Gene Kelly.
A blonde rat that he touches.
I think I have a theory that marries all your theories, which they got to the end of the movie and then they're like, we don't fucking care how it ends, just end it because we're $13 million over budget right now.
Yes, and also more coke, guys. We need more coke.
If you want an ending, you gotta give us $5 million more dollars.
And you're not gonna like it. And get real comfortable with being shamed.
Oh my gosh. So I think we're mixed on whether or not we would recommend it.
Watch it. I do think watch it. For sure. It, yeah. For sure.
If the music is amazing. I
the
love
music
ELO.
Is actually really
ELO
good.
I fast
like
forwarded through any scene that Gene Kelly and Olivia Newton-John were not in.
Yes.
Really?
It's only like 80 minutes.
I fast forwarded a lot in this movie. Every time the guy was talking to like the dummies, the artists that he worked with, I was like, buzz, buzz, buzz. No, thank you.
Do we know what he's doing now? Do we have any?
Yes, I actually did a little bit of research on my own. Whenever I'm watching one of these movies, I'm like, I wonder what they're up to now. Mm. Two things always come up. They've never worked again, and they were in the
right
movie.
There, say hi.
And they were in The Warriors. This guy. So those are the two kind of runners that happens. This guy actually, though, has not surprisingly, he works constantly and is continuing to work. He's pretty much an episodic guy. Like, he's been on every single
cop
show.
Since 2004? That's like the last thing I saw on IMDb.
I thought he was in...
Like, I looked him up because I was like, what's he up to? But then I thought when you said you know what he's doing, like, you're going to be like, oh, he's got a vineyard.
Oh. He makes great wine.
Warriors wine.
Braves, come out and play!
Come out and Chardonnay.
Can't do better than that. By the way, Michaela is right. He has not worked since 2004, but he did a lot up until 2004.
I think you might want to check. Did he die in 2004?
He is 65 years young.
All right, great.
Michaela, you have a brand new, a very new show that's hilariously funny out right now, Benched. When is that on again?
It's on Tuesdays at 7. Tuesdays at 10:30 on USA.
So watch that.
I'm not in it. It's
I know, but it's your show, right?
It's my show.
I mean, come on.
It's mine. It's mine.
I want to give...
Our characters welcome on it? I'm just curious.
You know what? Thanks for asking.
Yep.
And the answer is they sure are.
Oh, that's so great.
They come on over anytime.
I'm going to wrap... We'll wrap this up in the studio, but my question to you guys is, who here is from the furthest away? Who thinks they're from the furthest away? Raise your hand. Ooh, where are you from, sir, in the front?
Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Alberta, Canada, where are you from?
Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida, where are you from?
Minneapolis.
International?
Where are you from? Detroit. Back there.
Mallorca, Spain.
Whoa. Have you... Did someone drag you here, or did you come here intentionally?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Right. All right, so out of the people who do know what we're talking about, we got Detroit, Pittsburgh,
Scranton.
Hong
Kong. Oh.
Really?
Did you? Here,
you live here.
Anyone else?
Anchorage, Moscow.
Miami, New York. Moscow?
Anchorage.
Anchorage, really?
Alaska. That's pretty good.
That's good.
Did you come here for this? All right, you're going to get a T-shirt. Come on, come and greet me. You're going to get a t-shirt with Hulk Hogan on it that says, sad doll hair. For you. Sad doll hair t-shirt. Thank you so much for coming from Alaska.
I love all the TV shows that are based on your home state.
And, well, I think we've done it, guys. I think we did. That is the end of our show. Thank you guys so much for coming. Give it up for Michaela, June, Jason, at the show. Good night, everybody.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf dead.